hear from God's word this morning. Father God, thank you so much for bringing in the new year and allowing us to gather together to worship you and also to hear from your word. As we begin the new year, speak directly into our hearts, and may the words of the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable and honorable in your sight. We pray that the word may be planted amongst us so that we would know what it means to be truly happy in our lives. We thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in holiday season, and with this season comes a lot of phrases, but you might be familiar with the phrase "Happy Holidays." It's fairly new in Australia, because it's a phrase that we really haven't been using much. But I think in America, a couple of years ago, when I was there in America, this trend from Merry Christmas or Happy Christmas kind of transitioned towards Happy Holidays. And I feel that it's sort of creeping into this Australian society at the moment. And everywhere you go in the shopping centers or somewhere where you go, just you can see those words, Happy Holidays, and it's sort of replacing the idea of Merry Christmas at the moment. Isn't that what we kind of see? And so wherever you go, whoever you meet, some might say Happy Holidays. Others would say Merry Christmas. And it is actually a lot more people are saying Merry Christmas than Happy Holidays. But I feel that there's something, sort of a shift happening as well in Sydney, or in Australia at least. And that's what we want to just think about today. What does it really mean to be happy? We wish each other that you'd have a happy holiday season. We wish that you'd have a merry and a joyful Christmas. And I know Christmas has passed, but as we start this new year, you know, those words have all different sorts of connotations and meanings in our lives. For some, happy might mean that everything that you plan would come into fruition in your life. Everything that you want to do may actually happen in your life. For some little children, happy would mean that you would get the present you wanted for months ago, and you've been wanting to open that up on Christmas or in a special day when your birthday is coming up. And so these words have different meaning for everyone, but what does God say, and how does God define happy and merry? As we start this new year, what would it mean to be a happy new year in Christ, in the gospel, in what God defines as what is happy, is where we want to be thinking about this morning. Psalm 1 and 2 are introductory psalms to the whole book. There are 150 psalms in Psalms. And the first two of the psalms are an introduction. They serve as an introduction, if you will, to what the psalmist is going to speak and talk about and write about. Not only are these an introductory psalm, but they contain the essential attitude. This is the attitude that you must have while you're reading this psalm. And so Psalm 1 that we read this morning is the proper attitude we must have towards the Word of God. And the proper attitude towards the law of God is delight, as Duncan prayed. This is one of three Torah psalms, and the Torah psalms means it's a psalm about the Word of God, simply. And if you look at the next slide, these are three Torah psalms in the Bible, and they're quite easy to remember. Psalm 1, Psalm 19, and Psalm 119, right? And so, quite straightforward to remember, right? So, Psalm 1 is a Torah psalm about God's Word. Psalm 119 is a psalm about God's Word and the centrality of God's Word. And Psalm 119, that's the long one, that's all about God's Word, isn't it? From start to finish, the delight in God's Word. These are the three Torah psalms, and it's interesting that in the introduction, Psalm 1, as it's introducing psalms, it's a Torah psalm, and in between each of the psalms, there is this reminder of God's word, of our attitude toward God's word. And in Psalm 1, there is a remarkable contrast between the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. There is one side, it's painting a picture of the righteous, and on the other side, it's about those who are wicked. And in verse 1, this is what it says: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." And the word blessed here in verse 1 is better understood as not as a blessing given to us by God, but a better translation might be, happy is the man. And the man here is gender neutral in the Hebrew. And so happy is the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And it goes on like that. And so let's understand it in that way. Because blessing, if you think about it, is something that God bestows upon us. Isn't that right? We don't earn to be blessed by God. We don't do things to be blessed by God. God gives that unconditionally. And so in light of that, happy is the person who lives this way. Happy is the person who does the following things, who does not actually do the following things. And so in verse 1, happy is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, is a better transliteration of the Hebrew. The word walk means that person does not go that way. Happy is the person who has does not go in with the wicked. The second one is stand. Happy is the person who does not stand in the way of sinners. They avoid places where sinners gather. They don't go to those places where their sinners meet and do their things. And the third thing is, to be happy, one does not sit in the seat of scoffers, those who make light of God's laws, those who scoff and ridicule what is sacred. So the happy person, on a negative way, does not think on the advice of people, of the wicked. They don't behave like the wicked, and they don't belong. They don't sit with the wicked. And in some, that means the happy person avoids all sorts of evil and wicked and scoffing. The person who is happy has no association. I don't want anything to do with that. That's the happy person. In fact, the Christian lives for righteousness. The Christian desires to obey. The Christian worships God, who is sacred and holy. That's the other side of this. Now, this is remarkably similar to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. Let me remind you of what it says. "You shall teach them diligently to your children Israel, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." This is the Shema Israel. "Listen, O Israel." This is what God wants from you, right? So in a positive way, the happy person, when they are sitting, when they are walking by the way, when they are lying down, when they're rising up, what are they doing? They are listening and being taught by the word of God. Instead of going to the wicked or the scoffers and sitting amongst them, they are the people who walk in the word of God. And the basic idea is the same. Israel is commanded to immerse themselves and immerse their children in the word of God. Whenever you sit down, whenever you're walking by the way, whenever you lie down, teach the word of God to your children. And this applies to the happy person. Do not immerse yourself in evil, in sinners, and in scoffers, but immerse yourself in the word of God. That was the negative. That was from describing what the godly person and the happy person does not do. The psalmist continues to point out now what the happy person actually does. And in verse 2, Psalm 1 verse 2, this is what it says: "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. See, God's definition of happiness has nothing to do with our plans or what we get or what we receive this year. But God's definition of a happiness is the person who delights in the law of God. The one that is truly happy is the one who has found his or her delight in the scriptures. And the word "but" here acts as a huge hinge of the door, like these huge big doors we have at church. And it's like you're stepping in from another room and you're entering into another room, and these big hinges are opening wide to a completely different room, which the door does and the hinge does. And the word "but" here is changing the dynamics of the psalm from a negative, this is what a happy person doesn't do, but this is now what the happy person does, and that person delights in the law of God. That person loves to meditate, to think about, to wrestle with, to understand the word of God. Not only the word of God, but the instruction God gives them, the teaching that God gives them. This is what they are delighting in. In another Torah psalm, verse 119, verse 103, this is what it says. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." They have tasted and seen, indeed, the scriptures are sweeter than honey. And so what do? They meditate. Next slide. They meditate on it day and night. This does not mean that they do two devotions and that's it, right? So I read in the morning and I read in the evening and that's it, right? So that's not what this psalm is trying to say. They meditate on it day and night doesn't mean I do my two devotions and that's it, right? No, that's not what it says. This is what it's trying to say is, in the Hebrew, it's trying to connotate the idea that we continually meditate on God's word throughout the day, right? It's all inclusive from start to finish. In the middle, that's the idea that is run through this psalm. I'm reminded of a story of a volunteer who went to a church camp. And she ended up as the designated potato peeler. And so this must have been a large church that you have to designate someone to peel the potatoes for the food. And a friend of hers says, "It's too bad you've got this tedious job of peeling potatoes while I've got something else to do, right?" And so that's what another sister said. But she said, "Well, if you think about it, while I'm peeling the potatoes, I don't really need to think about anything else, but it's just automatic, and so I can actually meditate on my verse of the day. I can actually meditate on scriptures while I'm doing this mundane task of peeling potatoes." Do you get the humor of this? One commentator says the following. What digestion is to the body, meditation is to the soul. And I found that very interesting. Do you get the idea behind this? We don't digest our food once in the morning and once in the evening. Is that how your stomach works? I'm not sure. Our digestive system works 24/7, even while we're asleep. It continues to transform our food in our stomachs and the water and everything so that our body gets the nutrients. Why do we meditate on sporadic times and not just continuously, right? This is one of the things that the psalmist is trying to say. You delight in it so much that you want it every time, every single time of the day. You delight on it in so much that is your desire. That's one thing that you want. And remember, this is not a legalistic or a rule based. You must be like this. This is not the idea of Psalms. The idea of Psalms is your delight is in the Word. And because your delight is in the Word, meditation morning and evening, while that's great, that's not enough. It speaks of this continual thought of God when we live day to day. Every time we open God's Word, are you expectant? Are you looking? Are you wanting? Are you desiring to know what God wants you to see, right? What God wants. Because that is, according to the Bible, the happy person. And if you think about it, just your walk with Christ, when was the most happiest time when you're walking with Christ? When was it that you were enjoying the sweet fellowship with Jesus day in and day out? Some might say the first time that I met the Lord personally. Some might say the first time that I understood the gospel, that when I first understood what Jesus has done for me, that was the sweetest time of fellowship. Some might say when I was singing this song, when I was at this church or where, you know, everyone has different ideas, but I bet you that the Word of God was central in your life. And I bet you that when the Word of God was central in your life, that was the most happiest time that you have had in your walk with Jesus. And I encourage you to renew that this morning as we start this new year. As we think about this idea of happiness, may you be found delighting in God's Word. Now, what does this happiness look like? A psalmist is great in not just telling us, informing us of the happy person, but he paints a picture in verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. All who delight and meditate on God's Word, all who love God's Word, is like a flourishing fruit tree. Their fruit will appear at the proper time. The fruit here can be read as a material blessing, but it's much more than material blessing. It's much more than prosperity, because it's a transforming of our character. It's us becoming more like Jesus. And that fruit in our Christian walk is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, gentleness. You know, all those fruits in the Spirit is what is our fruits of loving the Lord. The word planted in this verse means that there is somebody deliberately. Next slide. The word planting. Whoops. The word planting means that there is somebody deliberately knowing the land, the terrain, deliberately planting the tree in the best place. So the tree would have a continual supply of water. In those times, there was irrigation underneath, and the planter would know where the streams of the water flew from the river. And because of that, they would deliberately plant the trees there. It means there is somebody who knows the terrain and deliberately places that tree there so that it would grow with that source of water directly beneath it. It means that the gardener has strategically planted this tree in that way so they would grow. Secondly, the word planted means there's a firm foundation. The higher the tree is, the deeper its roots are. And thirdly, when do we know that a tree is planted? When there is a storm, when there is drought, when there is a big storm. All the other little trees might have fallen, but this big tree stands because of its deep roots. And that's what this word planted means. That there is a gardener knowing the terrain, strategically planting this tree there. That there is a firm foundation of the deep roots that it draws its nutrients from. And that the planted tree withstands the storm and the hardships and the difficulties. And it's still there through hundreds of years. So many trees that we have in Australia that we've lost, unfortunately, to the fires are these big trees in the forest. So truly happy person is the one who delights in the word of God and meditates on it continuously, and they prosper in all that they do. Just quickly, the wicked, verse 4. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff, and the wind drives away. And in the old times, they would throw the grain and the chaff together up in the air. And what would you do is you get the wind blowing, and the wind would blow all the chaff away. And what you're left is with the grain apart from the chaff. And all that chaff is just not nutritious. It just gets blown away, dissipates into the air and goes to the ground. But that grain is used for food. And the wicked are like that. The Lord will just drive them away. They just disappear. Verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In the future judgment where God will separate between the chaff and the grain, they will not withstand God's judgment. And verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I love this. For the Lord knows. The Lord knows. God knows the way of the righteous. God knows. He's looking constantly on their way. His eyes are on the righteous. The Lord knows it and He understands it. And hopefully I've been able to show you what the happy person is. But there are these four applications that we might take home from this. And the first one is meditation. A two-time morning devotion is not what Psalm is trying to push for. And so you might know Spurgeon's morning and evening devotions. Maybe that was written out of this idea. But rather, that's not one thing. The other one is, the other side is where we just meditate constantly all day. And we don't work and we don't do family and we go to the mountains and do nothing. That's the extreme, right? A devotion, set time, versus going to the mountain. Those are the two. And that's not what this psalm is trying to do. But you delight in God's word so much that every single part of your day is a devotion, becomes a devotion. Every single time of your day, throughout the day, there is this time and space for God and for you to delight in God's law. Some people use their lunch break to read on and meditate on the Word of God. Some people, when they're spending time in the garden in the morning, are reminded of God's beauty through the garden, and they run to God's law and meditate on God's words, and they're reminded of Bible passages. When you are enjoying a cup of coffee during the morning or tea, whenever throughout the day, you ponder on the word of God. Some people also do this. They remind themselves through an alarm. They set an alarm throughout the day. And when the alarm rings, they know it's time for me to just immerse myself in the word of God, because that's what I want to do. They lift up a short prayer of memorized scripture throughout the day. They read scripture and they pray that scripture throughout the day. On my phone, I have a 9 a.m. alert on my phone that comes up every morning of a Bible verse of the day. And I use that to meditate daily on the Word of God throughout the day. Not only is individual devotion in that way very important, but sharing the word in community is equally as important. In small groups or growth groups at church, when you meet somebody else, the most beneficial thing to do is to share God's word together. And when you share God's word together, and as we share our challenges, as we share how God's word makes sense in our lives, and we share our applications and we apply that together, we grow together in community as the word of God is dwelling amongst us, not just within ourselves. Over morning tea, perhaps, you might feel the courage or have the courage to share God's word with a sister or a brother. That just the thought that came through your mind this morning. I encourage you to do that. Number two, growing. There is no program in the church by which you can grow. There is no activity by which you grow. There is no no such thing apart from delighting in the Word of God. Delighting in the Word of God helps you grow. You grow by meditating on the Word of God. That is by going over and over again over Scripture until it becomes a part of your life. And that's how we grow, not through programs or activities. Number three, the Word of God gives us strength to live in the hard times. It gives us strength to carry on, like deep spiritual, in times of deep spiritual dryness, you're able to draw from the depths of the resources below, like the planted tree. And by becoming more like Jesus, no matter what changes in your life, you continue to grow and to become more like Jesus. This is what Spurgeon says in next slide. The man who delights in God's word, being taught by it, brings forth patience in the time of suffering, faith in the day of trial, and holy joy in the hour of prosperity. Patience in hard times, faith during the trials and difficulties, and joy when there is something that's good happening in your life. That's what happens when you delight in God's Word. And final point of application is the centrality of the Word of God in prayer and worship. Now, I started off with Psalm 1 and I reminded you that it's an introduction to all of the Psalms, 150 of them. And it's interesting why the psalmist talks about the centrality of the Word of God as he kicks off the Psalms. Because isn't Psalms about prayer? There's a lot of prayer in Psalms. There's a lot of singing in Psalms. There's a lot of exaltation. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of life in Psalm. And it's interesting in the introduction that the psalmist writes about the centrality of the Word of God. What does this all mean? And it's interesting that in our New Testament reading, this is what Jesus says, John 15, verse 7, next slide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And Jesus is talking about prayer as well in this verse, like the Psalms. The Psalms are full of prayer. Psalms are full of worship and adoration. And Jesus here is talking about prayer. And he says, ask whatever you wish, which means pray all the petitions that you desire and you want. Pray and bring it to the Lord. It will be done for you. But it says before that, abide in me and may my words abide in you. So the idea is when we are praying and when we are worshiping, when we are doing all these things at church, the central focus is the Word of God. The central message in Psalms, as it begins, is that we are reminded that we anchor all of our prayers, our singing and our worship in the Word of God. And so, out of that desire and delight of Word of God flows out prayer. Out of that desire from the Word of God flows out worship. Out of that desire flows out this delight in worshiping God. So, brothers and sisters, as we start the new year, let us truly delight in the Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell richly in you, your hearts, and in your faith community, in this community. Meditate on it, read it out loud, study it, share it, encourage one another with the Word of God. Because that is the definition of a happy person. Last quote, Brother Lawrence from the book Practice of the Presence of God says the following. He does not ask much of us, merely a thought of him from time to time. A little act of adoration, sometimes to ask for his grace, sometimes to offer him your sufferings, and at other times to thank him for the grace, past and present, he has bestowed on you. In the midst of your troubles, to take solace in him as often as you can. Lift up your heart to him during your meals and in company. The least little remembrance will always be the most pleasing to him. One need not to cry out very loudly. He is nearer to us than we think. Amen? Let's pray together. God, as we begin this new year at your church with the community of believers that we love together, we're reminded once again what it means to be truly happy. And that is a word that has all sorts of different connotations. But we are thankful that in your word it's very clear. To be happy means that we are a people who delight in God's word. And as Duncan prayed, maybe that is not us at the moment. But we do pray that you would work in our hearts so that this year we might not find happiness in other things, although they might be special. But may our one and only true delight and the source of happiness be found in the very word of God. And may we start the new year refreshed and knowing that and applying that to our lives. We pray for each and all of our families gathered here today that we would be like that planted tree, drawing nutrients from the word of God and growing to become more like Jesus, the fruits that you desire. And so bless us with that. We thank you so much. And we leave that all into your hands. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.